Hello and welcome to the RPCV. This is the sixth episode. I'm Jordan.
And this is Andre.
And this is Jared.
First thing we're going to talk about today is the nuking of the administrative center, I believe it was called, and the creation of the pub.
That's right. If you've been keeping up on the forums, basically the administrative center, which used to be kind of the rules center for all the guilds. Basically, if you're a leader of the guild, you post your rules there. It got nuked because I figured, you know, might as well include that within the guild hall, part of the guild description. Its original use was for guests and people that wanted to, if you wanted to attend an event by Tail or something, you would go there and you would look at Tail's rules. So as a guest, what would you be, you know, required to do or whatever? It kind of outlined their etiquette towards roleplay specifically since it's their event. It didn't serve that purpose, I don't think. Most people just posted their guild rules.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of message we're sending to people. We got rid of a perfectly good administrative center, and we replaced it with a place where people can go and get drunk. I don't understand. I think we're sending a bad message to the youth of the RPC.
we're sending a bad message to the Eorzean teenagers out there.
We're saying down with administrative centers and up with the pubs.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, personally. Does anybody want to talk about the pub?
It just seems like it's facilitating. It's doing its job pretty well. It's just facilitating some out-of-character chat between the guilds and sort of people, you know, just sort of saying, like, you know, just for role players to figure out what this guild is about.
Oh yeah, definitely. I kind of want to see later on maybe more role players that are unsure what guild they're in. I mean, what guild they want to join, kind of posting something there, and people just suggesting guilds that might suit them. That would be pretty helpful.
Yeah, definitely. If people could just post, like, I'm unsure, and, like, a link to their character description, and then, you know, people could help them from there.
Yeah, I think it's a much-needed area. It's just a place to kind of hang out and figure out what guild to check out or what have you.
Thanks for the input.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say one more thing. Part of the reason why it was created, actually, was because of guild thread bumping, which is basically posting something to get your guild on top of the list of topics on the forums. It wasn't done. Obviously, nobody was doing it intentionally, I don't think, but there was just a lot of conversation. good job. There was a lot of conversation going on within each thread, and some people felt it was necessary and kind of it's not a big deal. Others, I'm in that camp where I think, you know, this is just mostly for advertising your guild, not for your guild chatter to go into. There have been cases made where, you know, maybe it gives the potential member a better understanding of the guild and how they interact with each other. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, definitely. If guilds have threads on the RPC and it sort of just shows like how they interact with each other, definitely it'll give people a good impression.
Well, my take on this is it's fine and dandy. Well, I'm kind of glad that there's a pub now because that's where that would go. You know, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that if a guild we'll set up an advertisement and they don't have members, you know, talking to each other within that thread. That doesn't necessarily mean that the guild is, I don't know, like not talkative or something. You know what I mean? It's not really like, it doesn't mean like, okay, if people talk a lot on that guild advertisement, then that means the guild is like really active. And if people don't talk, then it's like dead. It's kind of like a false, false equivalency.
Yeah, I mean, I know, at least from Aether, we definitely do all of our talking, like, either on our Ventrilo server or in the actual guild forum. And people who just sign up for the RPC aren't necessarily going to go and check out everybody's guild forum to see what's going on there.
Yep. So, yeah, I think the pub is pretty much a better forum, I guess, than the administrative center. I definitely agree with the kind of the change of the forums.
Yeah,
I guess. That brings us right along into Square Enix released another The Making of Eorzea video. This is the part two in their series, and it's showing sort of how they created the mobs that we're going to be, the monsters that we're going to be fighting in the game.
Well, we actually didn't even talk about part one, but do you guys want to, like, quickly talk about that, since it's character creation, it's kind of basic. I know there's a lot of leaked videos out there of the same thing, so maybe we could just briefly talk about the things that you liked with that video first.
Jordan?
Well, I mean, the character creation video was more of what we've already seen. It looks really good. Obviously, all of us have gone through the character creation, and we know it's good. So, aside from a few shortcomings, like only 4 Lalafell haircuts.
Curses.
But it looks pretty excellent. I think that they definitely... I really like the more detailed features, like the scars and the moles and stuff like that. And they pointed that out in the video. I think that's pretty cool stuff.
Well, I really dig two things. Well, one is the artwork they had up. Just, it's like 35, 36 seconds into the video. You see like an Elizan woman kind of drawn up, and then there's a guy, and then, I think there's like a Mikote also. So there's a whole bunch of just faces kind of drawn up, and those look pretty sweet. They're not really in-game or anything like that, just character concepts, I guess. I don't know, who doesn't like to see Asians in spandex just, you know, going at it?
I definitely love to see Asians in motion capture suits, you know, just hammering on invisible anvils, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's funny how they do that. Kind of gets you an inside look, I guess. That's what their intent is. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm. I think it's nice to know that they said, like, they're putting personal touches. They're not just copying and pasting the motion capture straight into the game.
And I think one thing I forgot to say, I just remembered, the faces, the emotions were really great. I didn't really notice that when I was playing the beta, that there's such detail in the emotes of, you know, the eyes and facial features and things when they're doing different actions.
Yeah, that's definitely a great thing for role players. I know, like, whoever likes to zoom in on their character and get a good cinematic angle can properly observe their emotions, but, you know.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XIV is definitely trying to be a one-upper in that in that regard compared to other MMOs.
How many emotes did they say they have in the game? 80?
It's Yeah, it's not like 80 or... It's some ridiculous number.
It's a lot.
Isn't it 60-something?
I thought it was either... I think they said either over 60 or over 80. I can't remember which.
It's over 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or there are 60. At least at this point. I mean, who knows? They might add more, you know, later on in the lifespan of the game. I know in 11, everybody was excited when they added, like, real slash dance emotes.
Well, yeah, but that was only because of Dancer.
Ah, whatever.
They had to add it because they were chop abilities.
Well, they didn't have to add the ability for anybody to do the emote. Well, like, yeah, it was just part of the chop ability.
But it was a copy-paste move, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to pretty much code them in for the dancer, and then they're like, might as well just put in 5 more minutes and make it an emote for everyone else.
Yeah.
I really... God damn it, Square Enix, you better be listening to this. You guys need to make a barbershop of some kind later on in the game. I mean, 4 hairstyles for Lalafell. I mean, I'm not even talking about how yours, like Highlanders. I mean, I understand that, okay, like, maybe not as many people might play those, but Lollipals are pretty damn popular, and to have four hairstyles, not good.
Yeah, I'm as a Lollipal, I'm pretty pissed off about that. I mean, I found something that I liked, and I think it suits Zolku, but I would have liked more choice.
But the eyes, though, that's a good touch. I mean, I don't think any MMOs do that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, going to the second video, that's more of how they're sort of giving every monster a personal touch and really making them come alive in the world that they're creating. How did you guys feel about that?
It's pretty great. Go ahead, Andre.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if I want them too detailed. It might give me nightmares.
I loved it. Like, when I'm both, you can get it from the video and playing the beta, like, I would be running around and I noticed, like, dodos, like, the little fat birds were actually looking at me as I walked past them. You can almost see it in their minds, like, is that guy gonna attack me? Like, should I get away from him? So I thought it was great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, it makes me want to pay more attention when I'm in the game. Like, it makes me want to get on the beta right now and just go look at things. And I think that's great if they can, you know, evoke that sort of curiosity in players. Like, if looking at the wildlife is that fun, then that's awesome.
Yeah, if it's better than just, like, a looping sort of, like, animation that they just sort of, like, you know, bounce in one spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been that excited about polygons since I was in kindergarten. like, did you guys see this Titan or whoever that is?
Yeah, that looks great. Yeah. Like, the detail in the Serpent of Limsa Lumensa, that one too.
Wait, which, do you know where that is in the video?
It's about halfway.
It's a little more than halfway, right about 140, 150 seconds.
Oh, okay, that one. Okay, I know what
you're said about. Something about they did, like, separate, individual scale separately or something?
Yeah, it says each movement of the serpent's fins was animated separately, which was quite a tiring process.
And you know, I think it's really a great thing because it really adds to the immersion level of a game for a role player. Like, you don't want to be playing a game and then suddenly be immersed and then be slapped out by, like, lazy animations on monsters that just look cheesy and whatnot. So I feel like the level of depth in these monsters really just it really does make it feel like a world that they've created.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've yet to see the opening, the trailer in full HD and, well, actually not full HD, what am I talking about, on high settings for the graphics. I've only seen it on medium, but when I saw it on medium, I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, I was like, this is so epic.
it's really breathtaking on 1080p.
Oh, yeah. You know, and then I showed it to my sister, and she was just like, what the hell? And I was like, whatever. Don't take her opinion as anything, though. She's heartless. She didn't even feel anything at the end of Toy Story 3.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm living with, like, a monster.
So, yep.
Was there anything else in the video that you guys liked?
I love how they, for this monster that looks like Titan, they've still got the leather thong. That's a nice touch.
They did make him bulkier, though. He looks much larger.
Yeah, he has no neck now. Like he didn't have much of one before, but, like, now he literally has no neck.
Did you guys spot a lot of new creatures that you haven't seen in 11?
Well, one thing that definitely stands out is that, like, it's speculated, but this airship creature thing that they show off here, like, I'm not sure if they're just showing it off because of it's an animation, but they're specifically talking about monsters in this video. And this thing is really weird looking.
Yeah, it's very peculiar.
It's, like, mechanical almost. Like, doesn't it look, like, mechanical?
But the wings almost look bug-like.
Yeah, it's weird.
But what strikes me is that that particular monster or whatever it is from one of it's in a lot of the trailers for 14. The character that the trailer follows, like he rides on one of these things. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on 148 if you guys want to check it out. But yeah, I guess they're big enough to actually like stand on or something or sit on, whatever it is.
Yeah, like each little porthole in the when you're looking at it is bigger than like a person. These things are really gigantic.
Oh wow.
Oh, so maybe that's interesting. Do you think it's an actual enemy that you could fight, or do you think it's just like a transport vehicle, sort of like a chocobo, but like a new flying transport.
New metal flying chocobo.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of it, because it's got a gun, and
weird.
It is definitely a peculiar thing.
Just we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, like, indeed.
What about that monster that looks kind of like a mammal?
It's like a cross between a mammal jaw and like
at the very end.
Yeah,
at the very end, there's something that very much looks like a mammal jaw.
And can you explain that for people that haven't played 11?
Well, mammal jaw are basically like a race of evil beast men that, for all intents and purposes, they're kind of like walking velociraptors. Like they just walk on.
They're kind of like a lizard.
They're like humanoid raptors. So this one kind of resembles one, except much beefier.
And their leader has two heads. Was it three? I think it's two.
No, it's two. One, like, caster head and, like, a fighter head.
Yeah. All right, so one thing we're forgetting to link back to is roleplay, of course. That's what we're about. And I think it's really important that... the game is very detailed, and the more immersive we can, the more immersive a world we have, the easier it is for us to role play within it. What do you guys think?
Definitely, I agree.
I mean, if you could just go out and look at creatures looking at you funny, I mean, that's just enough role play right there.
Exactly. Like, and some people want to role play their characters as researchers, and that's a lot of what we've got here in Aether. So, I mean, that's something definitely great that's gonna lead maybe to some interesting role play.
I don't think we'll have any shortage of people enjoying themselves doing those type of things, going out and really exploring the game, especially when it's new. When it's old, I think there will be areas where you'll want to go and check out for yourself, even if you know what's there beforehand. You know, it'll be fun just, delving into every inch of Eorzea and whatever else is added to our world that we have as expansions come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I feel like bottom line, it's all about immersion. And, you know, if the creatures look badass and if they're just, just look realistic. And as they said something about the Altgoat, they said that you could tell, like, the little insects on them and stuff like that. And like, you know, if you get that level of detail, I mean, you cannot help but just be immersed in the world. And I think that's a win for everybody. I mean, the role players and non-role players, it's everyone kind of gets that feeling from the game that it's realistic. And for us personally, for role players, it's, you know, we get a lot better detailed role play out of it. We feel connected to the world more, and we don't have to imagine things in our mind and then, like, role play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't have to, like, imagine those dodos that are just, like, sitting there, those fat, stupid birds, like, watching people, you know?
Yeah, they're actually doing that. It's kind of creepy. All right, well, we're going to take a break unless you have anything else to add.
No, I'm good.
We're good.
All right, cool. Well, for my musical selection, we have... The Antwood, Enter the Ninja. It's a hip-hop group from South Africa. I hope you guys enjoy that.
Awesome.
It's very cool. And for my musical selection, I have Passion Pit's Sleepyhead. You may recognize it from the latest Little Big...
All right, see you after the break.
We'll be right back. I'm a ninja. Yo, my life is like a video game. My main thing when I'm in the zone. One player, one life in the mark. I'm with a dog.
Go ninja, go.
No fucking it down, I'm cutting down anyone I'm apart. Trying to fuck up my game with razor sharp. Political throw starts, cheer to my flow, so I'm hostile. Wild out of control, ninja scope for fucked her off. Style. Rough rhymes and tough times, red for all course. Scrawl, till I hit 777 at the 8 p.m. Straight famine or feast when you're living on the razor edge. Stay sharp, sharp, rolling with the S.O.S. High energy, you never seen Zeph so fresh. When we mark, check hard, death flows flex. Yo, we are the must up, not fucking the press. We not like the rest, my style is UFO. Totally unknown, you can't fuck with my new Zeph flow. I'm hard to miss, you can't do this, you can't do that. You fucking who said so? I do it a lot, too hot to handle, too cold to hold. You can't fuck with the chosen one. I want to knock your arm, a ninja. Don't fuck with my game, boy, or I'll boost you. Life is tough when I get stuck on my diamonds up. I boost through till I break, break, break on through to the other side. Fantastically poor with patience like a stalker. Ninja is hard core. Being cut so deep, feel no pain, is not sore. Don't ask for cocko, you get what you asked for. I'm like a wild animal in the corner, waiting for the break of dawn, trying to get through the knot. Just a man with the will to survive. My blade swing free, decapitate a hater with amazing ease. This is not a game, boy, don't play with me. I work my mark, saber like a wild fucking savage from the dark side. Danger, yin through the yang. Totally hot deck ninjas, motherfucking big in Japan. I seen the future, but I never got nothing in my hand. Except a microphone, big dreams, and a plan. Fly talking, skywalking like a ninja. This is like the coolest song I ever heard in my whole life. Fuck all of you who said I wouldn't make it. They said I was a loser. They said I was a no one. They said I was a fucking psycho. But look at me now, all up in the interweb. Worldwide, 2009, Futurista, Enter the Ninja, Yo Landy Fusser, DJ Hot Deck, you fucking aren't wood. It's my name. I'm a ninja. Yo, I'm a ninja. Yo, I'm a ninja. A motherfucking ninja.
And we're back. And actually, joining us, we have a very special guest. Unfortunately, Andre had to step out, but we have someone to fill in. It's this old man. He wandered into the studio from his village off in the wilderness in Orzea. So he's here to tell us all about his experiences living in Orzea. Welcome, sir.
How are you? You look quite tasty.
Thank you. I think.
I didn't really. Can I take a bite?
I'd rather you didn't.
All right. Sorry.
It's quite all right, sir. So, do you mind telling us a little bit about your day-to-day life here in Orzea?
Well, see, where I'm from, it's a small village. Mostly just hunting some higher. Sometimes when we get an odd lalafell, such as this group that we came through the other night, nearly goddamn killed me. Shoot.
Wait, am I understanding you correctly? You said that you're hunting hyurs and lalafell?
Well, you see, we have a festival. Once in a while, maybe, a couple of times a week. Basically, we take meat and chop it up, eat it. Tastes good.
Where did this meat come from, precisely?
This and that.
Jordan?
So, you eat the meat?
That is what you do with meat, ain't it?
Yeah, generally.
Do you wear it on your head?
Well, actually, the Egyptians wore meat on their head, but that's beside the point.
Really? You could try that.
Who is the Egyptians?
Oh, I'm sorry. They're not from Orzea. I'm probably confusing your simple mind.
That's not a way to talk to the elders. Yeah, is that what you all do in the Earth?
Earth? Yes, we...
Earth?
Earth? Yes, we disregard our elders at every possible moment. We make games out of the...
That goddamn rude. Tell you what, I have the mind to eat you myself right now.
I prefer to remain in one piece, actually, with all of my organs inside me.
Hey, you got some more questions?
I
could talk about my village all day. I'm just asking if
Well,
that quiet one looks tasty too.
I suppose, but he's from Indiana. I hear people from Indiana are really gamey.
Oh, is that a special type of? Is that a special tribe?
Sort of.
Oh, all right. We got many tribes here. We got here Hayur, such as myself. I'm a Midlander. Very proud of it. There are some Highlander folks. Barely seen any. I heard they taste good, though. And we got two types of lalafell. One is Dunes folk. They got the weird-looking eyes. And we got the Plains folk. They also got weird eyes.
Yeah, very, very, very funny. I guess we'll let you back through that portal to Orzea that's right over there if you just want to excuse yourself.
You sure I can't take a bite?
No.
A pass.
Worth a try. Well, I hope to see you guys. Hope to see you guys again. You know what I'm saying? You guys could visit anytime. My village is always welcome of strangers. We'll make sure you guys have a great time. One of our festivals, you know.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to stop by and check it out and see what's up.
Are you sure I have to go now? I'd rather stay.
In fact, I insist that you go. It's rather necessary.
Nah. All right. Well, away I go. Take care now. Okay. Stay tasty.
Thanks.
Will do.
And stay crazy.
Man, anyway, I'm back now. Sorry, guys. Were you guys in the middle of recording?
Something like this. This crazy old cannibal man walked in. He seemed like he was pretty hungry.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Anyway, do you want to talk about some class systems and roleplay?
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Sounds like a good thing.
Well, you know, as you know, some MMOs out there kind of have this thing where you pick a class and your character stays with that class. You can't really change it. And when you roleplay within that kind of strict system, you have to base your whole character story about your character being a rogue and kind of staying there. Or
a rogue or a paladin or what
have
you.
Or a paladin or whatever. Yeah. So in 11 as well as 14, I guess, you could pretty much change your class on the fly. And I mean, that definitely influenced some RP.
Definitely. It's more of in 11 and 14, your character influences what classes you play instead of the other way around, the class that you play influencing your character.
Right, and I think it's a much more realistic approach. I wouldn't want to be able to change your skill set like mid-battle, or at least if you did mid-battle, you'd have to like disengage and, you know, change gear or what have you. But I think a more realistic approach is definitely you know, conducive to a higher level of immersion. And as we said earlier, that's always good.
Definitely, and it really gets you attached to one character because you can do everything on one character. You don't have to be constantly juggling around and whatnot. So,
yeah, I mean, there will always be people that just want to make different characters. I'm kind of part of that crew. Not like crazy part of it, but yeah, there are people that make 25 characters and such, but I make like 3. But it sucks. They're going to be costing like $3 each now per month. So that's kind of discouraging. Probably going to try to stick with Mason for most of the time.
Yeah, I think that that whole cost right there is maybe making people reevaluate how they want to do their roleplay a little
bit. Why do you think they're doing that, by the way? Sorry to start a tangent.
Really, I think they're doing that because the retainer system, most people... non-role players, anyway. Most non-role players buy extra characters just for the inventory space. Mules. I'm pretty sure that everyone's familiar with that concept.
Right.
So the retainer system that they're adding, which only costs $1 per month, is basically a mule. It's a character that you don't play but acts as extra storage space and a constant bazaar if you set them up.
Right. That's great, but like I don't really understand why charge $3. That's kind of ridiculous for another, you know, character you'd play.
I agree that it is a little ridiculous to charge so much money for, you know, maybe someone just wants to play, like wants to have the experience of playing like two different kinds of characters, you know, maybe a Mikote or a Rogadin, but I don't know, that's just my opinion on it.
I mean, yeah, it looks steep, but, I mean, really, if you think about it, if you're a constant gamer and you kind of play, you know, pretty often, you don't have to play every day, but you still play, you know, weeknights and stuff like that, you would probably be spending more money doing other things if you weren't at home playing this game. So per month, if you think about it, it's actually pretty cheap. If you do kind of make use of that time that you have within the game and use it as your, you know, primary or secondary source of entertainment. So, I don't know. It just seems steep, but at the same time, I also realized that, okay, if I'm not sitting home, you know, Friday night, like playing, I'll probably be out and, you know, spending even more money than I would just per month on Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that argument made for many, many times for why people don't really mind monthly fees on MMOs, when it seems like some people just can't stand the thought of paying to play a monthly fee. But really, that money goes into making the game that you're playing even better in the long run, going to server maintenance and expansion packs and all that good stuff.
I think in that aspect, you get what you pay for generally. Games that don't collect any type of fee oftentimes have poor service. I think you'll very rarely see companies like a Bungie that offers up all of these extra things and don't ask you to pay them. But that's one reason why Bungie is an awesome company and they have a huge fan base, but that's kind of off topic. So
Nice plug there. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't work at Bungie, I swear.
Well, the thing is, yeah, if you've ever played a free online game, you know how it's just dirty. most of the ones that I've seen, and it's impossible to roleplay in them to any serious extent, so I don't mind paying a little bit for quality and, yeah, just like actual content, you know. But back on, let's get back to the subject of class systems.
Yeah, sorry about that.
having a very free-flowing, non-linear class system really, really aids people in how they're going to create their characters, I believe.
Right, and I think it's not even about just character creation, but it's also character changes. So, you know, where in another another MMO, you're, you know, a wizard of some kind, and you're just stuck there no matter what happens to your character within the game. And, you know, it kind of, again, one of those things that limits you as a role player. And this game kind of frees you up. You know, you could be Thaumaturge. Am I saying that semi-correctly?
Yeah, I think so.
Thaumaturge.
Yeah.
Yeah, invoke the first rule. First rule.
Yeah, whatever that class is. You could be that, and you start off as that, and you're all, you know, emo and whatever. And then all of a sudden, you become normal. You grow up. And you join the rest of us in normal class, okay? There you go.
And I think, like, really interesting storylines could develop. I just got this thought, like, you know, maybe you play as a mage for a very long time, and then somehow you RP it to where your character gets cut off from being able to, like, use magic or for some reason, and so then you have to pick up another weapon to defend yourself if necessary.
That reminds me of Final Fantasy IV. Cecil. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah, when he goes from Dark Knight to Paladin.
Yeah, that's totally very similar.
So,
yep. Or you get your tongue chopped off, so.
Right.
You literally can't utter the freaking spells anymore.
Yeah, but then how do you roleplay if you can't talk to anybody? You just...
Well, I've actually roleplayed with someone that had some kind of speech impediment or either had their tongue cut off or just couldn't speak. They roleplayed that they found an artifact that helped them communicate. Basically, it was kind of like voicing their thoughts.
That could go bad.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was like, I think it went bad like a few times. And be like, yeah, you're a douche. Like, like what? Like, oh, shit.
Nothing.
It's on. Wait. It's like forgetting to mute yourself on a phone call. It's just like, sorry, that was weird.
But yeah, I was going to say, I guess you would have to do it all through emotes if you didn't have something like that. You know, but...
You mean if there wasn't like a fluid class system?
No. I meant like if they couldn't speak, you'd have to do it all through emotes.
Well, or like write things down or something.
Yeah, something like
that. But there are loops around it, you know.
Yeah.
People definitely could create stuff. I don't know. Is there anything else that we're kind of neglecting to mention about this class system?
So, all you have to do is change your weapon, right? That's
all you need to do to change your class, and that won't make you the best, even if the two classes that you're changing into are the same rank, because you will spend skill points to become better at a certain class, attribute points, I should say. You can respec your attribute points, but you can't respec them all at once. It's a gradual process.
Uh-huh. Okay, because I haven't really experimented with the class change system. I've just been, you know, beating stuff down with my pugilist, and that's pretty well all I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually didn't know about that respecking thing.
Yep, you can respec, but you don't get all of your points refunded at once. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because,
gradual.
I mean, it's nice that to be able to completely respec all at once, but it makes more sense, I think, from just like a character development perspective.
Yeah, from a role playing perspective. Yeah,
yep.
Because like, you just go to bed and the next morning you're like, oh, I'm a perfectly good gladiator. Like, all of a sudden, I know how to use a shield and sword.
how gradual that process is, I don't really know. It could take hours, it could take days, so.
I would love to see a leave quest that kind of aid that process somehow.
It would be kind of a nice, like, sort of like, maybe a leave quest that, like, you kind of get, like, broken from, like, your old training or whatever.
Yeah, like, there would be a leave quest for each class, so whenever you want to, like, change up your attributes, you take up a leave quest of the class that you'd want to become, or however you'd want to respect. So, you know, then you'd go through, like, a series of quests that, you know, make you do things.
What if you accidentally got that leave quest, though, and you didn't want to respect?
You can't abandon leave quests.
Yeah.
So.
Right, but it's...
Cancel?
But it's a problem, like, that doesn't it... Does it still count as one of your leaves for the day?
And that, if you abandon a quest, yeah, it does count as one of your leaves for the day.
Anyway, they just have to have a warning something telling you, don't do this unless you're sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just fantasy talk coming from me. It's just like, yeah, hypothetically, you know what else they could improve? So, yeah, I guess we should move right along, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, the next topic of conversation is freelancers and the Roleplaying Coalition. Lately, we've talked about there's a lot of discussion about whether freelancers should have a council seat, or how should they be, I don't know, like, basically, how does the RPC benefit freelancers? What do you guys think?
Well, my first thought is, how in the world are we going to pick somebody to represent the freelancers? I'm the king of the freelancers.
Really? By definition, it goes against, you know, freelancer, you know, definition.
Yeah, so. Freelancers shouldn't have a voice because they're freelancers.
I mean, I think
controversial.
I think they should have some sort of voice in the community, but as far as like holding spots on the council for the RPC. I don't think they should get that spot. That spot should be reserved for the Link Shell leaders.
Right, and I
mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you. Okay.
Sorry, right. I'm so gay.
All right, sorry guys. So I didn't mean that. I was kind of half joking there. But I don't think that freelancers should have a guild council spot. I think. Like, if you're going to be a lone wolf, then be a lone wolf, you know, do your own thing. Like, obviously, the RPC should have, like, a spot for you, so to speak. Like, you should be welcome to the RPC, and, you know, you could go RP with whatever guild is doing something. I'm sorry, I keep saying guild. Whatever Link Shell is doing something, you should, you know, involve yourself in it if you want to. But I don't think they should be able to, you know, hold a spot on the council. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be excluded for anything. Any open event will still be open to freelancers, and they'll be able to figure out about it through the forum posts.
Well, the thing is, I think most people kind of have this idea of, ooh, like, you have to be represented by the council. But what is the council? I mean, the council is just a bunch of Link Shell leaders, you know, coming together if there's a problem, or... If to plan major events like an epic style event that kind of affects the whole world, so
yeah.
Everyone kind of is in on it. I mean, that's about it. What is, you know, the council is like elevated to such heights, like you have to get represented by the council. It's not an actual council. People do realize that, don't they? It's not like,
I don't know,
you slap
the word council on anything and everybody wants to be a part
of
it.
Hey,
right.
Castiel, I would like to be a member of the council as a representative of the RPCV.
Oh yeah, we should all get
get press passes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, everyone is kind of like, I guess the word itself makes it sound kind of elevated and high up there, when in reality it's just a bunch of nerds.
they serve as third-party mediators for any sort of Link Shell dispute. They serve as, you know, moderators on the forums to keep keep flamers and haters and all that kind of crap away. So
yeah, so you know, it's not. I mean, okay. I guess I don't know. Whatever. My rant is kind of done. I'll just let it go. It's like, oh, do you want to police the forums? Oh, okay. Well, go ahead then. Like, you know, do you want more responsibilities? Do you want to keep an eye out on everything?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a cushy job.
It's like work.
I just want a blue name.
Oh yeah, can I be special?
You already are special. Don't worry.
My helmet says so.
Your anyway. onion helmet.
Yeah, my onion helmet says so. Yeah, but getting back to what we're talking about, freelancers, you know, I feel like the RPC in general, I mean, I don't think they need a council seat or anything like that. They're not in a shell, and whatever's going on with the council is Link Shell related, so, you know, that's pointless. And I feel like there's enough of them, and the RPC could be like a general hub for them, so they could use the RPC to kind of facilitate some role play. I'm pretty sure freelancers kind of have it a little bit tougher when it comes to finding role play and stuff like that. So, I mean, the RPC would probably be like, you know, an important tool for them when it comes to role playing.
Which kind of brings me to this sort of bigoted statement that I'm about to make, but I don't feel like there's a, maybe being a freelancer back in the day when in 11, when there wasn't a whole lot of role playing shells available, and if you really hated the one way one was run, then it probably was better for you to be a freelancer. But there's so many guilds out there with so many distinct purposes and sort of goals that there's bound to be one that fits your character even just a little bit.
Right. And I think, you know, it's not even that. It's also just the fact that, you know, people say, oh, I just want to be free. I don't want to be attached to anything. Well, you don't have to be attached to one guild. You could be attached to three guilds or four, depending on what they're...
Or eight. Know,
or eight, which is the maximum number of guilds you could apparently be part of. So, you know, you could be part of as many guilds as, I guess, depends on the guild policy. I mean, why am I keep saying guild?
Link Shell.
Link Shell policies. It's just that I taught myself to say guild.
Yeah, we all struggled so hard to say guild, and now that we know it's Link Shell, we're trying to get back.
Why did they do that? Just should have just let us know that it's Link Shell. Anyway, yeah, so I lost my train of thought now. I don't know. Yeah, oh, I was saying, yeah, depending on Link Shell policies and whatnot, they could be part of many Link Shells and kind of always have stuff to do, you know, and kind of navigate through them, whatever their character is going through, whatever. I just don't see a point of not having any Link Shells. It's... I just don't understand that. Maybe a freelancer could come on and explain their position to us a little bit more clearly.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Calling out to all you freelancers, we need one of you on the podcast, so email us at therpcv@gmail.com.
Remember,
right, don't shout
it. Yeah, remember the the.
Yeah, therpcv, indeed.
Oh, so one thing we forgot to mention was some changes to the charter. We sort of, in a roundabout way, talked about it, but more specifically, let's talk about that. There is a thread going on right now discussing whether we need to modify the charter, sort of a reevaluation thread.
There's a thread. There's actually on the last page of the thread right now. There's a pretty good summary of the charter, if anyone's confused on what exactly that means. I know the charter is written in pretty official language, and that can be confusing to some. So it basically just sort of talks about what the charter states and sort of what the RPC is and what it can or cannot do.
Right. Go ahead, Andre.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just saying how, you know, the charter... The RPC basically is not a governing body of Link Shells or specific role players. So, you know, the charter basically makes sure that people understand that whatever the RPC might suggest, or if there's an etiquette that RPC puts up or, you know, rules about god moding and metagaming and all that stuff. It's basically just kind of a suggestion that we came up with as a community. It's not a rule. You don't have to follow anything. It's, you could be a member of the RPC and not care about god moding. You could god mode all you want. It's just a matter of finding people that are willing to roleplay with you.
It's a matter of finding like-minded people. Also, it's kind of like, you know, don't god mode here. You can god mode on any other forum that doesn't mind it, but just don't do it here. That kind of thing.
I think the bottom line is that the RPC is not the Garlean Empire ruling over all of the, you know, peons. It's just really a community. It's for link shells to get together, organize events, along with freelancers. Along with freelancers, yes. And their onion hats. I don't know. I think that the charter is fine as it is. Maybe add in something about freelancers. Give them some sort of mention. But otherwise, I don't really see any issue with it. If you guys want to, I could quickly summarize, like, go through the summary. I know we're not too pressed for time.
All right, go for it.
Okay. So, first point it says, so RPC can or does do provide a singular destination where all our peers can, far and wide, can gather together. Then second point, give you a place to look for a link shell. Third, provides a benefit of making a mass choice on what server we'll go to. Hopefully.
I think that will be removed later on because
right.
After we actually do pick the server.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the fourth point talks about cross-guild RP. Fifth, RP, like, etiquette, like you were saying, like, general, like, suggestions. It's not telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's just, like, here's what, like, most people think you should do.
Right. It's mostly just for, like, newbies, you know, looking at, you know, once you stumble upon the RPC and you're like, oh, like, roleplay, like, I'm not sure what this is, you just flip to the charter and there you have it. You pretty much have a summary of what the RPC is and, you know, the basic ground rules for roleplaying that we kind of agreed on.
Right. And then also it says, basically it's a third party, it's like a mediator. If there are disputes, can be kind of the guy in the middle.
Going back to that council spot.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I actually wanted to talk about that briefly. What do you think the RPC could actually do if there's a problem?
I mean, the worst that the RPC can do if there's a problem, it kind of depends on what kind of problem. For instance, if there's just a link shell that's causing a lot of trouble, you know, flaming, spamming, and doing all sorts of, you know, ridiculous crap, then
ban them, get
the
them
RPC
out of here.
Can just ban them. Yeah, ban them, get them out of here.
Yeah, I guess the worst thing is kind of like exile.
I mean, that's not going to stop them from role-playing. It's not going to, you know, delete their characters or anything, you know, ridiculous. They're just not going to be officially affiliated with the RPC.
Right. The RPC is not ruling over you with an iron fist.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. It's just a matter of finding people to actually role-play with you and try not to hurt other people's feelings. that's the thing. I feel like the RPC will be such a major force within, you know, the roleplay community that any guild that doesn't, you know, feels like they don't want to be a part of it or is removed from the RPC, I mean, they're basically doomed to destruction, I feel like, you know, because, or even if guilds on other servers that somehow end up on other servers outside of the RPC, I mean, you get such limited traffic in terms of role players on in those guilds that are not represented. It's just ridiculous. I don't know how long they would survive. I assume that they would just fizzle out eventually.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. Also, just to wrap up that summary real quick, the RPC is a separate set of points. Doesn't do this. It does not enforce rules, and it does not lead. It is not, the council spot does not mean anything.
You're basically a policeman and a mediator.
You are a mall cop. That is all you are. Well, that's the perfect metaphor right there. You're Paul Blart or Seth Rogen in Observer and Report.
Oh my god, I just want to see Jordan get banned when it gets out. Like, oh yeah, I'm a mall cop, huh? Look what a mall cop can do. Ban.
Yeah, Soren, you're just a mall cop.
Well, theoretically, a mall cop can ban you from the mall.
I guess so.
Yeah, I think that's a great metaphor for the RPC. The RPC is a mall, and there's all these different stores, and all the stores are, you know, all the different link shells that you can be a part of, and the people who don't want to shop at any of those stores and just want to come and hang out, those are the freelancers.
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, sometimes you have stores like Hot Topic, and other times you have stores like Gap, and sometimes you have, you know, nice and fancy, like, Bloomingdale's or something like that.
Ralph Lauren, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, wherever the classic.
I wonder which link shell is Coach.
It's a good question.
This like analogy here, has gone too far.
I think we should have a poll like in the discussion for this episode. You know, what link shell do you think is Coach?
Or, yeah, like each link shell needs to figure out what mall store they are.
Yeah, definitely like a clothing store. Yeah. All right. Do you guys have any other things to talk about with regards to the charter update?
Just that I don't think too much is going to change. I think it's pretty well good as it is, and just add in some stuff for freelancers, and that's about it.
Yeah, I believe it's coming to a close. I think actually we'll probably get the new charter sometime soon, the final version. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, Jordan. Well. I pretty well agree with that, and I think that just about wraps it up for episode six. So, this has been the sixth episode of the RPCV. I am Jordan.
And this is Andre/Mason on the forums.
This is Jared/ZolkuElku on the forums.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Howdy, y'all.
Earthquakes and faggots.
That's the two things that I hate.
You got purr voice.
Yeah.